How are we doing? It's good to see everyone. Reminder, we got Band of Brothers. There we go. This Saturday, and you don't need to do anything but bring yourselves. And the Watered Women. There we go. We'll also gather on Saturday, so it'll be a beautiful time, and just bring yourself and be ready for sweet fellowship. And I'll do a little plug also for the talent show. Don't forget to sign up with sharing your talents. I hear Gabe Redding is going to do a Bible Man performance at the talent show, so we're really excited about that. All right, let's open up with a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us together in your house, Lord, and thank you for the joy that we can share with one another, Lord. And oh, Father God, we thank you for the refuge that you are and that your word is, Lord. Father, you know the different things going on in the lives of each person within this body, Lord, here or not here, Lord. And Father, you are our refuge, you are our strength, you are our very present help in times of trouble. Lord, we thank you for that. Father, thank you for the gift that the word of God is. And Lord, thank you that this night we get to take time and delve into your word. We get to take time to commune with you, our mighty King. Oh, Lord, that is a gift. That is a true gift. Father, help us to never take that for granted. Lord, be with us this night. Speak to us, Father God. Lord, as we go through these Psalms and this section of Psalms, Lord, it's truly a moment where you have us asking you to search our hearts. For how do we worship you, Lord? How do we praise you? How do we look to all that is to come prophetically in your word? Father, give us eyes to see, ears to hear. Meet with us, mighty King. Lord, I ask that you, through your Spirit, enable me, empower me, strengthen me, and give me each word for your people. Teach us this night, Lord. Convict us. Humble us. Grow us. Refine us, Lord. And Father, all of it for your glory alone. And Lord, I would pray that your word would speak to each person, Lord. Give hope in each situation. And help us, Lord, to seek, to do, and live for you. Father, that we would not just be Christian by name, Lord, for many profess Christ. But Lord, that we would live for you. Lord, help us to give it all to you. Please, Lord. Father, the world grows darker. The clock ticks closer and closer to your return. May your bride, Lord, stand forth firmly and strong in your strength, Lord. So, Father, use this time to equip us, to edify us, to grow us. Lord, may we be a people with open hands, saying, here we are. Send us. Lord, we give it to you. We love you. In the name that brought salvation and brings salvation, the name above all other names, the name of the mighty King who was and is to come, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. So last week, we were in Psalm 95. And just recapping a little bit with that psalm, as we walked through it, we saw that it was an invitation to worship. It was an invitation to praise the Lord, to praise our King, to shout joyfully to the rock of salvation. And in this invitation that we saw, it reminded us of the fact that we should do it joyfully. We should sing with joy to the Lord. And we should do it with thanksgiving. And we talked a little bit about how often do we actually just take time and just give thanks to the King of Kings. It's not a practice that we have too much or do too much. And in this, we saw also the posture of worship. Because the posture reminds us to worship, to bow down, to kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. There's humility within that. It's not a posture of, hey, look at me, I'm so great. No, no, no. It's a posture that prostrate before the Lord. Our heart posture matters. And then we saw this today. There is an urgency here. Today, if you'll hear his voice, what did this psalmist say? Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. There's an urgency. The day of salvation, the day is at hand. And there's this reminder, don't harden your hearts. Don't be in rebellion. And sometimes we can think, well, okay, I'm the Lord's. My heart's all his. You can still harden your heart. Your heart can grow hardened because you let the world influence. You let other things come in that creep in that start to have impact or sway over you, putting them before the Lord God Almighty. So it's important we check our heart posture before the Lord. If we think about two places in Scripture that we cite often, we talk about often, but tying to this psalm last week, just two that remind us of. Mark 12:30, we're told, love the Lord your God, quoting Deuteronomy, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first command. All of our heart. Heart posture matters. And then Romans 12, we're called to be a living sacrifice. If the heart isn't in humility to the Lord God Almighty, it's going to be hard to be a living sacrifice. Because you're going to have a lot of focus on me, 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 and not so much on he. So the charge last week was to get on the table for open heart surgery. How'd y'all do? How did it go? Was it a successful procedure? Did you let the Lord convict? Did you take the conviction to prayer? To say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, help me. Lord, give me scripture to write on my heart that I can do this with you, through you, for you. How did you do with that? Did you let the Lord search your heart Sunday morning before worship? Did you tune the instrument of your heart before you got in the car? So that the car ride to church, you're just praising and praying. Or were you getting frustrated when the car cut in front of you, whatever happened? How are you doing? Some folks seem to have that reaction. We'll talk later. No, I'm kidding. But how did you do with that? Get on the table and let yourself have that open heart surgery. Brothers and sisters, we're called to deny ourselves how often? Daily. Guess how often we're going to be having heart surgery with the Lord? Daily. Daily. Dare I say, throughout the day a couple times. It's the only time you want to have that going on like that with heart surgery, to be clear. But let him search your hearts. Let him try you. Let him know you so that you can truly be who he's calling you to be. So we're going to go on tonight to Psalm 96. And as we look at Psalm 96, there's two things we're going to be exploring in Psalm 96, praise and judgment. It's interesting to put those two things together. Because I know in looking at this text, it was a fascinating one because it's not normal that, you know, on a Sunday morning when we're going through the worship set, my mind isn't usually thinking about the judgment and wrath of God that's to come. But we need to remember that judgment is coming. So these two things are juxtaposed in this psalm that we're going to look at. Now, the categories for this psalm, as we get them, as we study the different psalms, a royal psalm, we know that we're in this section of psalms that point to the sovereignty of God, so it is categorized as a royal psalm. It's also categorized as a millennial psalm. Millennial psalm meaning that this is a psalm that points to the millennial reign of our King. It's also a messianic psalm, pointing to the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's also categorized by scholars as a praise psalm, because it's a psalm that lifts up direct praise to him and is invoking and is encouraging us to praise the Lord God Almighty. Now, authorship, again, as I mentioned in this particular section, we don't get the authors listed right there in many of these. But with this one, what's interesting, when David is singing the songs of thanksgiving as they're taking the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem in 1 Chronicles 16, there's something interesting. So if you look at the psalm, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth, sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples." Then if you go to 1 Chronicles 16 and you start in verse 23, "Sing to the Lord all the earth, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day, declare his glory among all the nations, his wonders among all the peoples." It quotes this whole psalm. You're going to see a big chunk of this psalm quoted when David's bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. So some point to say perhaps David is the psalmist and the author of this psalm. So it's an interesting piece. And that portion actually quotes a few different psalms if you go through that chapter of 1 Chronicles 16. So it's where you could see maybe authorship coming from. Two passages I want us to look at before we delve into the text of this psalm. One being Romans chapter 8. So if you turn to Romans chapter 8, and this is a chapter, when you think of that, many might start to think, there is therefore now what? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And this, Paul gives us this bit here where we're walking through the Spirit and the flesh and being reminded to walk in the Spirit. There's the empowerment of the Spirit that we don't need to go back as we were, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. Verse 9 of there. But we're going to look at verse 18 in Romans chapter 8. And just take this section for a moment. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption, decayment, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." So this is pointing the whole creation groaning for that moment that's going to come. The King of Kings coming in his rule and reign. There's a groaning within us. And then this is the portion that goes on to remind us that the Spirit of God makes intercession for us. When we don't know how to pray, what does the Spirit do with groanings, with mutterings? This is the same section where we get that verse that so many love to quote, "All things work together for the glory of God." When you quote that, y'all, please read the whole verse. "To those who are called according to his purpose." Because we sometimes take that and just attribute it to somebody who doesn't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. And it's like, hey, all things that work for the good, you got to be his. You got to be in relationship with the Lord God Almighty. Just a little caveat. I'm telling you, 2026, we're going to do a series on the cliche verses taken out of context. It'll be youth group all over again when I was youth leader. So we look at that, we see this, and then we're also reminded what separates us from him, from his love. Nothing is able to. So it's a powerful chapter. I love Romans 8, but the point that we look at here in the context of the psalm we're going to go to is the groaning for the rain to come. The groaning, creation groaning, these birth pangs taking place. Download that before we go into this psalm. The other passage I want us to just look at before we dig through and walk through this text, Genesis chapter 12. verses 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We've looked at this several times, the Abrahamic covenant. I want you to have that in your mind as we walk through this psalm, as it's an important little piece, back context, the groaning for his reign to come, and also this promise that's given that's then fulfilled. And this psalm actually points to that fulfillment. And it's nice to remind ourselves of Genesis 12, 1 to 3, when we have so many people pointing out these Christian Zionists, these crazy Zionists. Yeah, I'm a Zionist because I'm a biblicist. I just go with what the Word of God says. And we've got to remember that. And I just remind us as we look at that, if you have opportunity and someone doesn't understand the promises that God has to Israel, sit down and talk with them. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a boldness so that you can help them understand God's promises, the plan, it's all there. And this psalm is actually a great one you could walk through with them. Because as we go through this text, you could say, well, why are we looking at Genesis 12, 1 to 3 with a psalm about praise and judgment? Because in this psalm, you're going to see the same word for verse 3, the families of the earth shall be blessed. That same Hebrew word of families is the same word we're going to see in verse 7 of this psalm. Because guess what's going on? This is pointing to all nations coming to praise. This is pointing to the fulfillment of this covenant promise of all nations being blessed. How are they blessed? Through Yeshua, the King of Kings, Messiah, all blessed. And this psalm points to that, and then his reign to come. And the other passage we'd walk through, but we won't right now because then we'd be here later, is Revelation 19 and 20, because we'd look at the millennial reign. So that's the context for this psalm. You got to download Romans 8, the groaning and desire for the Lord's reign and rule to come, the Abrahamic covenant, that promise that's given to Israel that's fulfilled, and we see this fulfilled, and the millennial reign to come in Revelation 19 and 20. Isn't it cool how one psalm ties together the whole word of God? So let's walk through. Verse 1, again, exploring praise, exploring judgment. Verse 1, we read, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. So we see here a call again in these sovereign psalms, in these psalms pointing to the reign of our King, sing to the Lord. And we pointed out last week with it, we sing, and who are we singing to? The Lord. We're not singing to each other. We're not singing to the worship team. We're singing to the Lord. It goes upward. And what do you sing? A new song. Why do you sing a new song? Because you've experienced his grace, his mercy, and you are a new creation in Christ. What's your new song as his child? If you go back, you know, what's the song? Think of it. What would be the lyrics of your praise song for when he made you a new creation? Sing that new song to him. And then we see here, sing who? All the earth. Sing to the Lord all the earth. 2 Peter 3:9, y'all know I love that, because he wishes for who to come to repentance? All. And where does he want praise from? All the earth. All of it. Sing to the Lord, and now it's going to get the what and how, the what and the how of our song. What is it? Sing to the Lord, and as we're doing it, what do? We bless his name, verse 2. Bless his name. And again, remember, when we see the mention of name in Hebrew, what's it pointing to? The character, the nature, the essence of the Lord God Almighty. Singing to that, blessing it. And then what do? Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. We sang that song tonight, day to day, day by day. Day to day, proclaim the good news of his salvation. That's a little important thing to realize. The good news of salvation, which for us with the whole counsel of the Word of God, this verse has a whole different meaning than just before Jesus is on the scene. Guess what? We should be giving the gospel
nonstop. It doesn't say, proclaim the good news of his salvation when you have a lot of energy. Proclaim the good news of his salvation when you feel like it. Proclaim the good news of his salvation every now and then. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Did you proclaim the good news today? If we go around, can everybody give me where you proclaim the good news? We'll start here. I'm just kidding. But truly, proclaim the good news. And when you're proclaiming that good news, don't think it just has to be going forth and sharing, that's it. But also how you live. How you live. So that person who sees you regularly or sees you at work, how are you getting through X, Y, Z? Why are you always so happy? What's wrong with you? I remember I used to get that as a school leader. Every school I'd go, you have so much energy. You're going to burn out. Why are you so happy? And I'd go, Jesus. That's why I'm so happy. Let me tell you about Jesus. We got to live like that. We got to go forth and we've got to let ourselves proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. What else do we do? Declare his glory among the nations. The nations there is pointing to Gentiles. Because what did Genesis 12:3 say? In you, all the families of the earth. Jew and Gentile. What does Romans 1 tell us? The gospel came to the Jew first and then the Gentile. He came for all. And what are we declaring? Not prosperity gospel declaration, but we declare his glory among all the nations, his wonders among all the peoples. This first three verses of this psalm anticipate what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 28. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the goodness of God needs to go to everybody. It needs to go to everybody. There's a world hurting. There's a world broken. There's rampant things going against the word of God right now. And we could sit and have what too many, I think, believers do with all this. They're so lost. They're so full. Well, what are you doing about it? Get on your knees and pray and get out and tell people about Jesus. Bless his name. Proclaim the good news. Declare his glory among the nations. Declaring his glory, his power, his goodness. When you're declaring his glory, guess what you're going to need? This. This is the story of his glory. And you bring it forth and you share it with people. You put it in front of people. And it's for all people. Lest we become children of God who give the gospel to those we're comfortable with. It's not about telling who you want about Jesus. It's about telling everybody about Jesus. Everybody. For the child of God, open heart surgery we had last week, too many Christians, even within the church, we have preferences. Well, I like this person. Well, she talks so much. Good, she talks so much. Go pray with her. We can't be cliquey. We can't be biased. We just got to be one. And then when we're one here, they will know we are Christians by our love. They will know. Then we go out. And it's like, these people are just so happy-dappy. What's Jesus? Let me tell you about my Jesus. That's what this Calvary Chapel movement was about, going and telling people about Jesus, showing the love of Jesus, proclaiming the good news of his salvation from day to day. Then we go on more about why we do this. Verse 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Why do all that? Because he's great and he's greatly to be praised. It's pretty simple. Why sing to the Lord? Because he's great and greatly to be praised. We don't have this problem here. Praise the Lord, because I'd probably drive people crazy. But if you stand up for worship and, you know, you see some people, they stand for worship and they're just... they don't sing. Ask them if that happens. Give them a little nudge this Sunday and say, hey, is the Lord great and greatly to be praised? Then open your mouth and sing. Sing to him. He's great and greatly to be praised. So we got to sing to our Lord. And then look, he's to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. So he's great and greatly to be praised. And then with that praise is a piece that we don't like to talk about, but he's to be feared. We all need a healthy fear of God, and not just a fear where we're, oh Lord, yes, there's that. And that fear should drive you to obey. Just because your name is in the book of life and you're with him forever, forever, doesn't mean that you can't then be serious about how you're living. Because guess what? He's to be feared above all gods. And all those gods that people have, you know, we live in a culture now where you try to talk to people about, well, I'm spiritual. Ain't no spiritual. Do you know Jesus? And let me tell you about my Jesus. That's been my favorite thing of late, more and more to say to strangers. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Because those gods, those things that they worship, self, whatever it is, they're all idols. But the Lord made the heavens. And it gives that reminder of when we went through Genesis with Pastor David, Genesis 1:1. Remember, we spent a few weeks on that first verse, but love what he said. If you can't take this first verse, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the rest is going to be really hard to take. And that's true. And that's pointed here. The Lord made the heavens. And with that, honor and majesty are before him. Think of those ideas, honor, majesty, all of that, it's before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Where the Lord is, there is strength. Where the Lord is, there is beauty. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. You want strength, you want beauty, be in the Lord. Let him have full reign over you. Then we get to verse 7, and this is that verse where the families of the peoples that we're going to see is the same families of Genesis 12:3. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, give the Lord glory and strength, give the Lord glory, do his name, bringing offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. It's interesting, when we look at the first part of this psalm, it was telling us to sing to the Lord. And we have sing to the Lord three times. Sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord. Then this little portion that I just read, verses 7-9, we get this idea, give to the Lord, give to the Lord, give to the Lord. This give meaning ascribe, this pointing up to the Lord. Yet think about how we can sometimes approach the Lord. Give me. Give me. And that's something we've got to be real about. Now, I'm not saying we don't go to the Lord for needs that come up. But brothers and sisters, what's your relationship like? What's your prayer life like? What's your chit-chat life like with the Lord? If you had to put a percentage, what percentage is upwards and what percentage is I need? How much of your prayer life, how much of your communion life with the Lord, if we're honest, is transactional? Is more about what I need to get from God right now. I think that's part of a problem with where the church is the way it is today. I love this body because folks are hungry for the word. But most places were hungry for an experience. We're hungry for what I get to leave here with. To that I say, is Jesus enough? Whatever you're wanting right now never happens. Is Jesus enough? Is he enough? Because again, sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord, give to the Lord, give to the Lord. Do you have the discipline of upwards that then you know the beauty of sufficiency in Christ? Sufficiency in Christ is only found when you know a life of looking upwards. That's the eternal mindset. That's the living for Jesus. And what do you give to the Lord? O families of the peoples. So this is give to the Lord. Every nation, give to the Lord glory and strength. What do you give to the Lord? The glory due his name. Because his name is the name above all other names. His name is the name by which we are saved. His name is the name by which we ask and pray and seek. So we give him the glory. And as we seek to give him the glory, what do? We bring an offering and come into his courts. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but when you read all of the way the sacrifices went, I don't know how I would do that. Because it was a lot, you know? We don't have to do that. Yet, not here with the folks that are here, yet it's so hard for the bride of Christ to spend time with Jesus. It's so hard for the bride of Christ to pray. Many times you hear that quote, I don't know who said it, but you know the health of a church through the prayer meetings. And then when I say now, I'm like, praise the Lord. More and more folks are coming out for prayer here. I thank the Lord for that. But these are real things that matter, because when we're talking about bringing an offering, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to give all of ourselves to the Lord. The offering now, he's given us salvation. So the offering is, here I am, Lord, have all of me. Have all of me. Are you bringing that offering unto him? Do you come into his courts? Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship, fall before the Lord. And it's in the beauty of holiness, because he's set apart and he sets us apart. And it's worshiping in that intimacy set apart with the Lord God Almighty. Do you cherish that? Do you do that? Tremble before him, all the earth. And that tremble is again that reverent fear unto obedience. When we look at this, the call to sing and the call to give, turn with me to Exodus. Because Exodus chapter 21, because when we look at this idea of the sing to the Lord, give to the Lord, give to the Lord. There's something we're called to be. James 1:1, how does James identify himself? He calls himself a what? A bondservant, right? A bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to be. If you want to get folks' heads to go like that, sometimes a great icebreaker, I use it sometimes. What are you? I'm a slave to Jesus. I love the faces I get. It's a good conversation starter. Try it sometime. But that's what we're called to be. But when we look at that idea of being a bondservant, I want to remind you of where this comes from. Exodus 21, verse 1. Now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years. And in the seventh, he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then this master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. That's where this comes from, this idea of being a bondservant. We looked at that months ago in men's, and Larry suggested the men all get piercings, so maybe we'll do that Saturday at Band of Brothers. But kidding, we're not going to do that. Maybe. But when we look at this, this is where it comes from. And it's this idea, free will. Everything's been done, the debt's been taken care of, and there's a free will. Go or say, no, I love my master. I will serve you forever. And when you do that, then you say, no, I am a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where you are then that offering unto the Lord, because you say, Lord, I want to give you everything. You see, we can't do verses 1-9 of this psalm well. We can't genuinely read this text first person if we aren't walking and living as that bondservant to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's freely saying, I'll serve you forever, Jesus. And notice it in this, and when we do this, it's not a conditional thing that we do. It's not, I'll serve you, Jesus, as long as, you know, the doctoral program I'm in, I still get to finish that, because, you know, you can't take that away. I spent a lot of money on that, Lord. I'll serve you. No, that's not how it goes. I'll serve you, Lord. Period. I'll serve you, Lord, forever. Period. Wake up tomorrow. The Lord takes away everything that you know, everything that's comfortable, and says, I need you to take a step of faith, and it's something wild like you've never done before, and it makes no sense, and it's going to confuse a lot of people, but you know this is what the Lord's calling you to do. Do you do it or not? Are you his bondservant or not? Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Notice where our text started. Sing to the Lord a new song. That new song starts with remembering I'm a new creation, which means I'm his, which means I've given up the right to run my life. We forget that. But we've given up that right. And we're to sing to him, we're to praise him so that he can have all of us, because he's the one to be feared. He's the one who made the heavens. So we give him the glory and strength. We give him the glory due his name. And we trust him. And we worship him. And then we realize, too, how good our God is when you think of the glory and strength that we're giving him. And then what do we get from Paul? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So you give him that, and then what does he do? He fills us with his strength and his power that we put on the whole armor of God, that we're able to withstand, that we're able to do it. Brothers and sisters, this is why our upward discipline is so important. It's repeated 3 times. Sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord. Give to the Lord, give to the Lord, give to the Lord. Where are you holding back from the Lord God Almighty? What part of you are you not giving him? What's your habit? Because go through how you handle different things. Because it's easy when everything's going as it should, isn't it? Right? Everything's A, B, C, D, E, F, G. We're good. Okay, now something goes amiss. The car won't start. How do you handle it? You wake up, 102 fever. How do you handle it? What do you do? What's your habit when things aren't easy? What's your response? That reveals a little bit of your sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord, give to the Lord, give to the Lord, give to the Lord. Because if those two things are focused on yourself, or dare I say, if those things are ritual or religion, you're not going to face the little trials that well. Let alone the big trials. And then the enemy's got a culture now where when the little trials come, well, don't you listen to that, Pastor Vince. You're supposed to feel bad. You are entitled to feel that way. It's hard. Victimhood 101, welcome to America. Truly, we live in a culture that promotes victimhood, that promotes woe is me, everything's so hard. Lest you say you have no heart, I'm not saying things aren't hard sometimes, y'all. But I am saying if you build your upward discipline, when those hardships come, you're going to sing to the Lord. When those hardships come, you're going to give him the glory and strength. You're going to give him the glory due his name. And then as you do that, you're reminded who's on the throne, who's in control, and suddenly whatever you face, that perspective has changed. And then all the folks around you that are part of all the families of the people who don't know the Lord suddenly now have a witness to point them to the Lord. It's all about him. It's all about the purpose of the Great Commission. Remember I said the first few verses of the psalm are pointing to the Great Commission. There's a purpose behind why we build the upwards. Verse 10. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. So now we get to this place where it's pointing to this upward, upward, upward. And as we're doing that, what do you do now among the nations in front of everybody? The Lord reigns. When's the last time you went to a public square and started shouting that? Eh? Don't worry, not telling you to go do that yet. Saturday night, y'all can for outreach. But truly, the Lord reigns. And it's saying it to all, because guess what? It's not what we've made it. We get lost in this world, Republican, Democrat. That's what happens with the Bride of Christ in this country. We get Republican, Democrat. Okay, we got to get the Republican in. We're going to be there. Not knocking it. How did House of Prayer start? We prayed through the election. Because yours truly, the Lord brought a conviction upon me, and I really did think, and had the thought, if this other person wins, I got to have a plan for if I get imprisoned. Got to have a plan. But when then we saw certain results, it's not then that, okay, oh, thank you, praise Trump. No, don't praise Trump, praise the Lord God Almighty. And don't get lost in Democrat, Republican, or this or that, or whatever box. Get lost in Jesus. And then engage politically because you live biblically. And when you live biblically, you must be salt and light, and you cannot be salt and light from the sidelines, rapture waiting. You've got to engage. You got to get out there. You got to pray. You got to vote. You got to engage. And you've got to tell all, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. All nations need to know that. Because it's not then, America, I love America. Trust me, I love it. My father reared us to love this country because of the freedom and the opportunity it gave him when he emigrated legally into America. But I don't worship being American more, or at all really, because I worship Jesus. That's where it comes to. And then we realize every single nation, every single person needs Jesus. And that's why the psalmist says, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It's not going to be moved because he made it all. And then what? He's going to judge the peoples righteously. Two things that the church is afraid to say today. The Lord reigns, judgment's coming. But the church doesn't want to say that. I dare you, go through, see how most recent, just take the churches on Weaver Dairy Road, Sage Road, whatever. Guarantee you, you're not going to find a lot of conversations about hell is real, judgment's coming, there's wrath coming, because it's all about how good can you feel. Let's make you feel really good. And then let's make you have your own little beautiful clique of people who look like you and think like you and talk like you, and you're so cool, and it's you, 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 and there ain't no Lord. And I think there's something in Matthew 7 that people are going to hear: depart from me, I never knew you. It is there. So the Lord reigns, and he's going to judge the peoples righteously. And when we look at his reign and judgment to come, what do we do? Verse 11, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and all its fullness, let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Where's the excitement, y'all? Does that not excite anybody here? Thank you. My wife. You can't hear something like that. Or that. You hear that, you finish that. Never. Come on, y'all. Truly, though, brothers and sisters, come on. Let the Spirit of God hit you. Be excited. This is exciting. He's coming again. He's going to rule. He's going to reign. We're going to be with him forever. The psalmist ends this with all of creation getting excited. The sea roar, all its fullness, the field joyful, all of creation, these things that we're not usually thinking of unless it's a children's story, personified, coming to life, all of creation, everything that he made, get excited. The trees of the woods rejoicing. Why? He's coming. And notice, it's not for he might come. It's not for he may come. It's not for possibly he will. For he is coming, and he is coming to judge the earth. He is coming, and he's coming to judge the earth. And we know through the word of God that that coming takes place. And 1 Thessalonians, what are we reminded of there? How is it all going to go down? Chapter 4. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. I do not want you to be ignorant. And I point this out, I've said this before. Paul has three things where he points to ignorance and says, don't be ignorant on this. And a lot of people who profess Christ are being ignorant. I said it. They're being ignorant. He says it in Romans 11 about Israel. He says it here about the rapture. And it said in Corinthians about the gifts of the Spirit. What are three things that are quite controversial right now? Israel, eschatology, because we've got way too many people wanting to say, let's just agree to disagree. It doesn't really matter. I mean, we're all going to be with them forever. No, it matters. It matters because he's coming for his bride. And we don't know the when, and everything is set for that to happen. So it does matter, actually, because there's an urgency. And if we just say, well, we're all going to be with him, suddenly there's no urgency to share the gospel. We've removed it. And the gifts of the Spirit, I'll leave that to as we continue Acts. You know how I feel there and where the Lord's leading me with this body. Embrace the Spirit of God. We're not going to be run wilders. You ain't going to see me say, everybody stand up and talk in tongues. Uh-uh. Ain't going to happen. Does tongues happen? Yes, biblically. Do the gifts happen? Yes, biblically, in order, because our God is a God of order. But we're not going to be afraid of it. So we're not going to be ignorant on those things, and we're going to know he's coming, and we're going to know what he's coming to judge the earth. Because that rapture happens. Great tribulation comes. A refining in Zechariah reminds us 2/3 of the Jewish people destroyed. This is why we pray for Israel. This is why we go forth with this. Because he's coming to judge the earth. You see, that's why I this psalm after this week in it, I love this psalm so much. Because I'm like, there's so much of the whole word of God that this psalm points to. And it's an exciting thing to look at our Lord coming and his judgment coming, and he's going to judge the world, how? With righteousness.
You can't say that. Your God's evil. He sends people to hell. Well, let's read John 3:18 and that portion, and you see you choose hell. You choose hell. Are you bold enough to say that to someone? And I wouldn't even, forgive me, I wouldn't even say, are you bold enough? Do you love humanity enough to share that truth? That you're sending yourself to hell. Our Lord, my Savior, Jesus, is coming, and he's coming to judge, and he's judging with righteousness. And he wants us all to be with him forever. And he's judging the peoples with what? His truth. And there's one way, truth, and life. The Lord Jesus Christ. It's not what I saw when I finished my journey in education, so much my truth. My truth, my truth, my truth, my truth. And I would tell my students when they sat in my advisory group talking about my truth, like, you know the rule, oh, you always tell us there's one way, truth, and life. Because there is, yo. There is absolute truth. And we need to walk in that. Because that's the standard, and the standard that it's all going to come and all the judgment's going to come is the word of God. So again, this psalm, as we walked through it, noticed, what did we explore? Praise. Praise unto the Lord God Almighty. Sing to the Lord. What do you sing? A new song. How do you sing? With blessing his name. What do you proclaim? His salvation. When do you proclaim it? Day to day. Not day to day when I feel like it. Not day to day when I'm not afraid. Enter Spirit of God. Spirit of God empowers to share gospel. Spirit of God empowers to live for God. Hence why we need Spirit of God. He is a part of God, triune, three in one. So we proclaim day to day. What do? Proclaim his glory among the nations. Why? Because he's great and greatly to be praised, and he's to be feared above all gods, because he made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Because of that, give to the Lord all the families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Guess what the glory due his name is? You living and walking, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Because of all the cloud of witnesses that we have in Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, all of those folks that we can look to how they were, because of that should have us lay aside every what? Weight and sin which so uneasily ensnares us. And then what do? We look to the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross for us. And it's joy because he knew the intimacy that was going to come from that. That's why we lay the weight and sin aside. And when we do that, that's giving the glory due his name. Saying, I choose to put this down. I choose to take my cross and follow my king. Giving the glory due his name, brothers and sisters, is being the living sacrifice. And how do you do that? You don't conform to the world. How do you not conform to the world? You renew your mind. There is only one way to renew your mind. It is not Google.com. It is not Instagram. It is not TikTok. It is not Twitter. It is not podcast subscriptions. It is the word of God, which is living and powerful, a double-edged sword, living and powerful, that discerns the thoughts and intents of our heart and renews us as the Spirit of God works in us. And as we let all that take place, as we bring that offering of ourselves, that is then worship in the beauty of it, and we tremble before him because you realize how big he is and how insignificant we are, then what? We say the Lord reigns and judgment's coming. And we get excited. Do you see that? When judgment gets brought up, it doesn't then become, so let's all sit in a corner crying because it's going to be dark and scary. No. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful in all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord, for he's coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. And y'all still don't rejoice. Rejoice in it. Rejoice in it, brothers and sisters. Don't worry, I'm not going Black Baptist Church right now, where we're going to get a little wild up in here. But I am saying, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice.
We've got to be willing to do that, brothers and sisters. When we look at everything that's to come, get excited. There's a brother pastor, he's actually Pastor Joel Denny, Calvary Chapel Danville, will be here Saturday for Band of Brothers. One of his teachings, I love what he says, because he says, you know, people will say, well, it's just not me to worship like excitingly. And he's like, okay, but then you go to a sports game and you do it excitingly, and the Word of God says to do it excitingly. What other command within the Word of God do we decide, well, that doesn't apply to me? Worship joyfully. And when you look to what's to come, be excited. Charge for this week, as we look at this text, as we think about singing to him, as we think about giving all to him, as we look at the judgment to come, as we look at all to come, the charge is simple. What now, my King and Master? What now, my King and Master? Read through this text, pray through this text, and then ask the Lord, what now? What do you want me to do with this? Maybe he's going to just have you spend some time in prayer praising him. Maybe he's going to have you just give glory to his name. Maybe he's going to have you get a journal and write every blessing you can remember from the moment your name was written in the book of life. Fill that notebook up with what you've seen the hand of the Lord do in your life. And then carry it with you everywhere you go. Let me tell you about my Jesus. You got a week to sit with me? Let me tell you all the Lord has done. Brent, can you stop the live stream? See you all soon. Want to have a